Stephen, once again, thank you so much for joining us today, our CA Today podcast. I did not. Oh, I see it is recording. Okay. So tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're from and what you do.
Okay. So, from outside the Chicago area, I started off in education teaching kindergarten, became a director of technology, then worked for Discovery Education in their online community for about 10 years. Went independent for a little while and decided I really missed teaching and working in a school building. So, went back to teaching literally 3 weeks before the pandemic hit. Which is an odd time to return to the profession.
Yes, it is.
Worked in a private school called Quest Academy for 3 years, and now just recently shifted over to District 101 Western Springs, where I'm the director of digital innovation and still teaching middle school computer science. Beyond that, I've also been an adjunct professor at Wilkes University. I've been on my local school board for 11 years now. And you always just try and stay active in education in all its various forms and permutations.
That's great. So I know that we've actually, I don't think we've ever met in person, but I started following your blog maybe 16, 15 years ago. And I think it was Will Richardson that started to talk about people's blogs who we should be following and thought leaders in education. And that's where your name came up. It was interesting that one, this was a long time ago, but there was one of my somebody posed as me on your blog, and it wasn't me who made a comment. And so I thought that was weird. I don't know why that happened, but it wasn't a big deal. But I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that does happen. Wow, that's you definitely are going way back indeed. Oh,
Yes.
just to warn you, and forgive me, I just realized in about 5 minutes, since I am at a middle school right now, they're going to do announcements for 3 or 4 minutes. So we may get interrupted
Okay, that sounds fine. No problem. So
there.
I'm really interested about the research you did with AI. I assume it was early on and you were using ChatGPT. I'd love to know, like, if you could give us a summary of what your research was about using AI, that would be awesome.
So, I mentioned that when I returned to teaching, I went to a school called Quest Academy. Quest Academy is a school for gifted students, and it's a private school outside of Chicago. And they had, before I even joined them, sort of put their stake in the ground and said, we are going to wrap our computer science curriculum around artificial intelligence. They were way ahead of the game. They saw the writing on the wall. They saw the potential there. And so they had already started building out a curriculum for K through eight, integrating AI through every subject, every grade level. So I kind of stepped in to that program and got to help shape the next several years of it. So when before the ChatGPT boom kind of hit, I'd already been teaching about AI using, a variety of different resources that we had cobbled together because there wasn't a ton at that time, using the MIT middle school ethics curriculum and a few other pieces that we were able to find. And then ChatGPT came along, and that really changed everything. It completely changed the dynamic. It changed the way that people thought of AI. It changed people's accessibility to it, and it also sort of launched this whole boom. So we were already sort of well suited to dive right into it, in that it wasn't something that our teachers had any fear of. We didn't have, our parents were already familiar with it. We'd already had the talking points. They already knew it was part of the experience. So we decided to try and make sense of this new shift in a very hands-on and direct way, where a lot of schools were trying to make sense of it and were blocking it in the meantime, we decided to do the opposite and put it literally right into the hands of middle school. So what we did, our approach was I introduced it to them, and I told them flat out, day one, yeah, this could be used to cheat. This could be used to write your papers for you. This could be used for all sorts of things. We started tinkering out with it, and then we decided to try and see, is there any way that we could actually test? Does what is this good for? Where does it actually help you as a student? Where does it actually make you better, and where does it fall short? So to do that, you called it research. I tried to make it as methodical as I could, but just please recognize this is not formal research. This is a teacher in a series of classes doing their best. You
Yeah, but
know what
it's still data.
I mean? It is still data. So our methodology was after getting a little bit of experience with ChatGPT and figuring out some background knowledge, I taught 3 grade levels, 6, 7, and 8, and every grade level had 2 classes. So what we did was each one of those classes we divided into 4 groups. Group one was required to write a paper. The language arts teacher gave us a topic based on a book that the students had already written and had some experience with it. So they had to, the group one wrote a paper the traditional way. They wrote it out by hand, they did it as a group, but then they used Grammarly, they used spell check, they used whatever they would normally use when writing this paper, and they did it traditionally. The second group was allowed to use ChatGPT as much as they wanted before they started writing. So they could use it to generate ideas, they could use it to create an outline, they could use it to create I'm trying to think of the term, like, catchy hooks, if you will. For as much as they wanted, and then once they started writing, they weren't allowed to use it anymore. So they just used it as part of the pre-writing process. Group three had to write the paper the traditional way, but once they were done, they could use ChatGPT all that they wanted as part of the post-writing process. So they could, throw, actually, if you don't mind, let's just pause here for a
Okay.
second.
All right. Sorry. Where you left off?
So group three had to write the essay in the traditional way first, just the normal way that they would. But then after they had written the first draft, they could throw it into ChatGPT and they could use it to their heart's content. So they could do things like say, hey, make this a little bit longer, find more examples for this, or rewrite this at a college level, correct my spelling and my grammar, all of that kind of stuff, as much as they wanted, so long as they wrote it the traditional way first. Group four, as you might expect, could use ChatGPT to their heart's content. They didn't have to do any handwriting. They could just say, write this essay. And then they could use as many prompts as they wanted and ultimately just copy and paste it out. Once all four groups wrote their papers, I anonymized it as much as possible. And then the four groups from let's say class A at sixth grade gave those papers to class B, and class B gave their papers to class A. And so then they had a chance to review four papers from the other class, same thing in seventh and eighth grade. And after reviewing all four of them, they had to make a judgment call. Which paper, they had to rank them. Which one did they think was the best? What did they think was the worst? And it wasn't just about trying to identify which one was bot written and which, trying to figure out which group was which. It was, which one do you think speaks to you the most? Which one do you think is the highest quality? Which do you think should get the best grade? You know what I mean? And it's a little ephemeral in terms of what exactly constitutes best, but that was a judgment call they had to make. And then after that, we had quite a few discussions. Now, what's interesting is when I've spoken to people about this, and I've spoken to a lot of people about this, and I asked people to guess which paper they thought was going to be the most popular or the best one. Most people tend to say it was probably the ChatGPT written one, or the one where they may have written it by hand, but then they were allowed to use ChatGPT the most. In reality, almost unanimously, across all six classes, across all of the students, the ones that they felt were the best, most well-written paper was the one that was written entirely by the humans. And then in second place was the one where the humans wrote it and then used, I'm sorry, they where they used ChatGPT for the pre-writing process, and then the human wrote it. And then, I mean, it was groups one, two, three, and then four in that order. Almost unanimously, once again, they said that the worst essay was the one that was solely written by ChatGPT. Now, there's a few things that you can take from that. But one thing I really want to make sure that we emphasize is the students chose their own groups. And there is a certain mindset of a student, there's a certain type of student that would raise their hand and voluntarily say, I want to write the whole thing by hand. They tend to be the better students, so the students who are more prone to getting A's and enjoy writing essays and so on. There's also a certain type of student that is more prone to saying, I want the computer to do the whole thing for me. So we do need to make sure that we take that into account. You know, the typically the higher achieving students were the ones writing the human written essays, and students who may have struggled more with writing were the ones who were doing it solely via ChatGPT. But even aside from that, the ways that they described those papers were fascinating. They felt like the ones that were written by ChatGPT, the ones that were the post-writing process and entirely done by it, they said it felt somewhat hollow. It felt somewhat generic. It didn't feel like it had, for lack of a better term, soul to it. They said it just felt very surface level. Often it didn't really get to the heart of the question. It was close, but it didn't really draw the same level of inference and introspection that you would see in the human written ones. And the human written ones, they felt just it was more authentic. It was more it was, would surprise them at times what the person, what the people wrote, and so on. You know, there was just more meat there. There was more substance to it. The other thing that was really interesting was the most frustrated group out of all of them was the group three that wrote the whole thing by hand and then used ChatGPT for the post-writing process. Because when after they finished, they did all that hard work writing it by hand, then they copied and pasted into ChatGPT and said, fix my grammar. What they found is when ChatGPT did that, it didn't just change one or two words. Sometimes it would change entire sentences, entire paragraphs. It basically almost rewrote a lot of the things that they put so much time and effort into. They said that when they were done ultimately with it, it didn't quite feel like their work anymore. It felt like it had sort of scrubbed it in a sense. They also discovered that there was quite a big difference between saying ChatGPT identify grammar errors for me to correct, or identify things that you think I should change versus correct my grammar and do this, or make it at a college level, and so on. Those kinds of questions where it was doing it for them, they felt got far worse results than if they said, give me feedback, and then I, as the human, will make the changes. But they weren't, that group wasn't allowed to do that. Once they were done writing their essay, they had to only use so that they got some you know, a little bit of angst due to that. The other thing that I thought was really interesting and worth mentioning is group four was the group that just did it entirely via ChatGPT. They also had the hardest time creating their essay, and not because it was difficult. I mean, they were done in 30 seconds, but I said to them, all right, you've got your first one. Is it good? And the irony is, most of them hadn't even read it. They just took it for granted. It looks great. I said, no, but did you read it and do you think it looks good? And if you don't think it's perfect, how could you make it better? And they really struggled in a huge way to try and identify what makes it, what are the prompts that I can use to make it better? What they started off doing, with the things I saw them doing, were things like, all right, make it longer. Okay. Make it at a college level. Use bigger words. You know, make this paragraph more sentences. But none of that is really about the quality of the actual writing. It's sort of the window dressing, if you will. And they really struggled to figure out what does that mean for an essay to be better. That critical thinking, that element of it was really a big, and I think that we see that a lot reflected when regular people are using ChatGPT as well, where they see it churn out something that looks impressive. And so they say it's good without necessarily reading it or reading it critically. And the art of modifying it to get it to something that they think is really exceptional, that's a real struggle. That's a real challenge. So it's been there was a lot of different, sort of learning. I will also point out one last thing, and then I'll stop ranting. All classes, all six classes, by the time they finished reading those four essays, they were able to pick out papers written by ChatGPT like that. They found that AI, in particular, certain engines, tended to have an accent, if you will, a penchant for using certain phrases, a penchant for structuring things in a certain way. And the more they saw those kinds of things, the easier it was for them to recognize it. One thing that we sort of all agreed is ChatGPT is absolutely amazing. But one thing that it really excels at is it does an amazing, incredible, wonderful job of creating very average work. Which kind of makes sense if you think about what it's actually doing and the technology behind it. So it wasn't necessarily formal research, but I think there's a lot to sort of like dig into from what these students discovered as they went through this process.
So if I use ChatGPT to kind of correct my writing, I've done this a few times. I've written by hand. Well, I've written on a word processing program, and then I copy and paste and put in the ChatGPT, and it corrects or tries to make suggestions or change my writing. And oftentimes, it changes the meaning of my writing, which is not what I want to happen. So that's an issue. So I'm wondering, it's great that the students were then able to like identify what was written because of what was written by ChatGPT because it had what you're calling an accent. So I imagine this could also be a way in which teachers could tell that students were strictly using ChatGPT to write their essays.
I have talked to probably at this point hundreds, maybe even thousands of teachers about AI over the past year. And when people say that's one of the first things they ask me is, how do I know if a student was using an AI to write their paper? And my usual typical response is, when you read it, you'll know. Your sniff test as a teacher is going to be far more reliable and accurate than any digital type of check. It really is. I mean, teachers, this isn't anything new. Teachers have been getting papers that were written by either a ghostwriter or a parent or a friend for years. And they almost immediately, upon looking at it and reading it, if you're familiar with those students, you can tell. You can tell almost immediately. And so that's why I don't think people need to overreact to this or overthink it. I think it's a matter of just using their own best judgment on the whole. Now, is it 100% accurate? No, but neither are these checkers. And in my opinion, if you have a sense that something was written by an AI, A, you're probably right. And B, it's a teachable moment that this is when you bring the student in. From my own experience, most of the time when someone has an AI write something, anything of decent length, anything that's somewhat substantial, the reason the student or the person is doing it is because they don't want to do it themselves. And more often than not, they tend not to read it. And if they do read it, they read it at a surface level. It's not hard to pull it up and say, hey, you know what? I was a little confused by this paragraph. Can you just explain to me what you meant by that? Or where you got that from, and so on. And it's going to be real obvious if they've ever read it, if they wrote it, and so on. And I will also point out, if you follow the conversations amongst college students right now, there's a bunch of different Reddit groups where college students are talking back and forth to each other. There are far more people who are stressed out about being falsely accused of using AI than there are people who are using AI trying to get away with it. And that's why a lot of students are taking it upon themselves to make sure that they are documenting their work as they go along, that there is a revision history, that they are able to say, you know, that they're sending drafts in to their teachers so that they can see the progress as they went along and so on. I think it's just going to shift a little bit of the writing process in a sense, but on the whole, I think what especially a lot of students are going to realize is it's not an easy A using ChatGPT.
Yes, that's great. I think that's awesome. So I guess my last question I'm going to ask you about your research is that did I if I get this correctly, you aren't at the same school that you did the research at anymore?
I am not there. I changed schools over the summer.
Okay, so but did you get a sense of that your research or the data that you got from the research changed anything at the school long term or short term?
All right. One of the things that we did when we followed up off of this research was the students wrote up an ethical use policy for using AI at the school with their teachers in their classes. So I think that was a great follow-up, and that is something that became part of I believe it's still a part of the student handbook. You know what I mean? They chose how they should sort of be governed with respects to this specific AI. But I will also just say, because we'd been talking about AI for years before this, there was already a certain level of familiarity and comfort with respects to it. So I think they're handling it at a level that's different than a lot of other schools, in particular because everyone knows about it and has experience with it and is talking about it. You know what I mean? There's no trying to hide it because everybody knows. And there's no trying to pretend it doesn't exist because we're doing it all above board. So I think the relationship that the organization has with the students and with the technology is much healthier than what we see in a lot of other schools. There's a lot of other schools where people are still trying to figure out, all right, what the heck is this? What does it mean? And a lot of what they know about it is based on what they see in the news, which tends to amplify our worst fears about it. So I think that I would definitely say that there is a long-term positive effect of those experiences at that school. But I would also say that that wasn't done in isolation and that it was building upon a lot of hard work in the years previous.
All right, well, that's awesome. I'm glad the students took it upon themselves to write an ethical use policy. I think that's a great idea. And Stephen, like I said, that was my last question. I want to thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And I promise to send you the link to the CA Today podcast so you can hear this podcast in entirety. So thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure.